right, welcome to Highly Questionable. We got Clinton Yates and Izzy DeChambeau. Let's go, baby.
What's your reaction to the NBA, MLB, and NHL all postponing their games in Minnesota yesterday?
All right, so Sunday at a town just outside of Minneapolis in St. Paul, Dante Wright, 20 years old, was shot by a police officer who supposedly thought she was reaching for her taser and instead reached for the thing that really kills people. As a result, we saw yesterday the Twins canceled their game and the Wild and Timberwolves, who also had home games, followed suit. There's something we need to keep in mind here, though. The Wild seemed to be pretty clear about why they canceled or postponed their game, rather. And that was because of security concerns. This doesn't seem to me to be one of these situations where you look at the teams and say, wow, they're thinking about the community and they're thinking about the players and their feelings as much as all this American expression that we're seeing in the streets in Minnesota. They don't want this pulling up to their doorsteps. I don't necessarily blame them for that fact, but I don't really take what happened as some broader thing about the level of concern that teams have for communities and the way that people are feeling right now. That seemed to be a pretty cynical move and one that, again, I could easily understand be done. Credit to all the players and all the people who have taken a lot of lead in roles in trying to do better things and to bring attention to matters like these. But we need to be very careful and not try to turn everything into a Hallmark movie. This is one where they know if people want to get attention at a time like this, a great way to do it is to show up at the arena. And as badly as these teams may say they want to help these causes, they don't want to do that much.
On the other side of that coin, you have the Vikings, who actually put out a statement that I thought was pretty forward in terms of what we hear from teams in general overall. And this is not the first time they've had to do that. I think overall, I look at this and I think about how athletes deal with this kind of pressure themselves. Remember what happened in the bubble in terms of when guys just stopped playing, everybody freaked out. Now, at least we accept that, to me, as a reasonable level of operation when something goes wrong in this country. And you look at a situation like Aaron Hicks, who plays for the Yankees. He went to Boone, the manager, and he said, I can't play today. Like, my head's not in the right place. And it's not something that we look at as considered foul the way that we once did back in the day. So if I'm taking anything positive away from this in terms of games being canceled, in terms of discussion we're having, is that we are now recognized as being able to chill because sometimes the matters of America are bigger than the matters on the court, on the ice, or on the field.
Yeah, Bo, I didn't even think about the reasoning for a team like the Wild because my first thought when I heard it was, okay, good. The simplest of issues, the simplest of things can be done, and it's done. We are not playing games at a time where this is happening. And I understand the idea that, you know, whether it be players, whether it be just black men across all of sports, looking at this and just having the conversation and just having to start a discussion or justify or hear people justify another death. Because, you know, now not only do we have to worry about, you know, running away or being in the wrong apartment or reaching for something, now you have to worry about a 26-year veteran of her police department making a fatal mistake. So, of course, you're going to run away in those situations, regardless of what you've done in the past. And so for all these players, for all these athletes, especially obviously the black athletes, to have to endure this and then go out and entertain people, it just doesn't seem like the right time. But if it is the people, if it is those, even the threat of uprising, of the threat of people coming out and doing things in these public settings, in these sports buildings, then great. Then something has taken over and made it way more important than sports. Because to me, it's just a tiring conversation to try to combine the two when really, like happened in Minneapolis and Minnesota yesterday, there shouldn't be games played in this situation.
And see, where I'm torn about this is that something does seem to be changing, which is that the idea that somebody gets shot by the police in a situation like this, and there is video that I'll be honest with you, I have not seen because I stopped watching that stuff. But it seems to have been acknowledged, though, that the side of right is on the side of the person that got shot for what appears to be no reason, which is a change. We're not hearing nearly as much equivocating around the discussion as we had seen previously. But on the other hand, the thing that really matters in this case and a whole bunch of others isn't what's going on so far with this one. It's what's happening in that same area with Derek Chauvin, the officer who killed George Floyd. The issue is not simply that people get killed by the police, is that the police get away with it. You can take this thing to trial and still wind up being acquitted in spite of everything that your eyes might tell you. So good on these teams, because it seems to be, again, something like broadly corporate also, the understanding that, hey, what's going on is not cool. But the rubber's really meeting the road in terms of punishment on these matters. So, hey, shut these games down. There are good things that could come from it. But what's really going to matter is what happens on that verdict right there. And something tells me that they may have to cancel some games again after that.
Absolutely. And if you talk to people in Minnesota, many of whom are friends of mine, and they'll tell you, white folks, black folks, all people tell you in between, they're scared. They shut down emergency services for like a week last summer. Police stations are being burned down outside of Minneapolis. And I think that's where the Wild sort of statement, it does fit in with the rest, in my opinion, because the security is a legitimate factor. That's a very real application of fear in most people's lives that they're not used to seeing. So when you hear people talk about security concerns, sure, that might sound a little bit rote, but it does actually make sense because it's more than just Black folks that are scared about what's happening in Minnesota.
Are the Nuggets finished without Jamal Murray?
Man, this one is disappointing, because for those of us who have been watching Nikola Jokic have one of the greatest seasons of all time and realizing after they got Aaron Gordon that the Nuggets were legitimate contenders to win the West, now Jamal Murray tears his ACL playing against the Warriors last night. They are a +8 net rating with him off the floor. They're a -3 with him off the floor. I don't know how far they can go at this point without him, except I just said this thing about Jokic having one of the greatest seasons of all time, right? Like, it's really happening. Is it possible that what it's going to take for Jokic to get that MVP is to crank it into another gear and see this team keep it trucking without Jamal Murray? I don't think they have a real chance in the postseason because Murray was their other guy to get his own shot. But if somehow Michael Porter Jr. like steps it up, which is possible, and Jokic steps it up, this could be really interesting to watch. They just ain't going to win no championship.
Yeah, it's frustrating when you consider that, like, it could have been a number of other players, but Jamal Murray, their floor general, the other guy on the floor that you trust with his basketball IQ, and now, you know, Michael Porter Jr., yeah, shooting 40%+ from three, probably the best, I think, the best open shooter from three-point land in the league, and you've got Will Barton, a guy who they didn't have in the bubble last year, who can score in bunches, frankly, but you don't have that steady guy, you don't have the guy that you trust, especially in important playoff moments to really pull the team together. If Jokic can do that, yeah, of course, it sort of boosts his MVP status, but there's probably a ceiling to that in the playoffs. He can't do everything during a seven-game season in the postseason. Teams are going to be able to scheme a lot more if you don't have a guy that can give you 50 on the outside. So again, Michael Porter Jr., can he do that? He can be a scorer, but not the same way. He can't really run the team the same way Jamal Murray can, so that really damages their chances.
I think it's absolutely devastating. This is a good squad. And Jamal Murray, forget about the points and so on and so forth, that dude was simply just the meanest man on the court when he played. And there was a big factor of him as far as what he gave to the team and how they operate. I just don't see them being able to get back. I understand that Joker is one of the best players in the league, and the way he distributes and the way he scores is something unlike anything we've ever seen. But they're just not the same team. The opponent does not look at that team the same way without Murray, and I think that's going to affect them a lot. Expectations have reasonably changed for the Denver Nuggets as a result of this injury, and it sucks because I like Jamal a lot. He's a fun player to watch.
All right, cool. Well, let's just ramp up the fun here. You know what's time for the Nuggets to do? Go back to Jokic running point. Remember when they were out there last year a couple times out there with the biggest lineup that we had ever seen and Jokic running the point? I don't see any compelling reason not to. You're not going to win the championship. He's your point guard anyway. Give us something to watch, baby.
Zion's running the point. Now it's your turn, Jokic.
There we go. Because when I think of Jokic, I think of Zion.
Does Luka Doncic have a point about the play-in tournament, or is he just salty that the Mavericks might be in it?
All right, so we should probably start with the level of saltiness that Luka probably has about the fact that the Sixers kicked the Mavericks' keisters in this game, that Ben Simmons put the clamps on them, and now the Mavericks are sitting at seventh in the West, which would mean they would be in this play-in tournament. And listen to how excited Luka Doncic sounds about that.
Obviously, we're trying to get this sixth seed. I don't understand the idea of playing. You play 72 games to get in the playoffs, and then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that. But we're just trying here to get to the sixth spot, and I think that's our goal right now.
No, Luka. You do see the point of it when you say we're trying to get to the sixth spot. The problem that the NBA has is nobody really cares that much about what the seeding is by the time it gets around to the postseason. So we get to the end of the year and you get a lot of games that don't necessarily matter. So you saying, I don't get the point of it, but we're going to try to get the sixth seed, that, buddy, is the point. The other thing worth bringing up is, why y'all even down there at that part of the standings in the first place? I thought this dude was supposed to be the MVP this year. Remember when y'all told me he was going to be the MVP this year? You don't get to be the MVP with the 6-7 seed now, do you?
I think what he's saying is sometimes what happens when people try to overthink things and it takes somebody coming in to just look at it and go, Why are we doing this again? It's a reasonable question. There's an entire regular season. I understand you want to incentivize late season games, but like, they count the same. It's one game. You know what I mean? People always say, oh, they're later. They count different. No, they don't. In the actual math, it doesn't actually make sense to do this. And so, sure, the competitive element is there. But if the very players who are involved don't think it's very cool, I'm not against change for change's sake, but change it to something dope. This ain't that dope. Simple as that.
Anybody else laughing at we've got a salty Luca and he's got the Joker Why So Serious t-shirt on at the time? And this is my question to this. Well, first of all, Luca, he said if you lose two games in a row, you're out. Well, if you lose four, same thing. So I will say that I don't really like it because it does devalue the regular season. And the whole point of this, if you just want to boil it down, is to get teams to not tank, right? Get more teams fighting for 8, 9, 10 spots and maybe, you know, that 11th team. And so it's just the very bottom of the league that's going to be bad. But we've heard Draymond Green talk about it. We've heard these other players talk about it. Nobody's really clamoring to be that 7 or 8 seed and considering that an accomplishment. Let me rephrase. Everybody outside the Washington Wizards are not clamoring and calling that an accomplishment. Only one franchise would. So it's not really going to keep teams from tanking if they see somebody like, I don't know, a Zion Williamson in the draft and they're just like, should I just tank it and try to get Zion or should I try to take on the Clippers and the number one seed in the West? I don't love it. And again, devaluing the regular season is the whole point. Luka's got to be looking at this like, man, in Europe, if the regular season is everything. Over here, it's just about those 2-3 games at the end, which again, just more games. It's kind of like a 17th regular season NFL game. Doesn't really change the playoffs that much.
And let me tell you, if there's anything the NBA won't hate, it's getting some primetime Luka. Like, if they get that, that's what he doesn't understand. Little did he realize he gonna be on, they gonna have his face on the ticket for those games, even in the games he ain't playing.
Up next on HQ.
Oh, you tried to do it like that?
Can't go in head first.
Off rip, bad approach.
There's an episode of Insecure where somebody's trying to head in parallel park, and we were all like, what are you talking about?
Okay. What happens there? Why are you getting out of the car?
Are you counting paces? What's going on there? Just the Masters?
All right, this. Okay.
Okay. Oh, no. Wow. Not helpful.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How is this going to end?
Do you question if Ben Simmons should be throwing shade at the Nets?
Okay, so the Sixers and the Nets play tomorrow. Ben Simmons was asked the question about whether Sixers and Nets is the best rivalry in basketball, not even the Atlantic Division, which it's not. But anyway, this is what Simmons had to say.
No, we're going for the past champs, the Lakers. You know, they were the ones who won the championship, so you got to give the respect to them. Obviously, Brooklyn, you know, has a lot of talent. But they, you know, there's only one ball. You got to play defense, too, so.
Ooh. First of all, I am always disappointed that he does not have an Australian accent, at least one that I can pick up on. It would make everything so much better about him. But number two, he's kind of right about this, right? Like, it's definitely shade that he's throwing there, but we are taking as a given that the Nets are going to make the finals, and they would be one of the worst, if not the worst, defensive team ever to manage to pull that off. I can't think of a team to get that far just outscoring people. But whoo, we're going to see how it goes when they actually have to play against him after he said this.
Yeah, there might not be a large window to sort of clown on the Nets, but we're still in that window because they're 25th in defensive rating, because you have no idea if Kevin Durant's going to be fully healthy or James Harden's going to come back from this hamstring great, or if Kyrie Irving's just going to have personal days during the playoffs. We don't know. But what we do know is that the Lakers just now, without their two big guys, had Andre Drummond dominate the Nets, and as I mentioned yesterday, and this bears repeating, gave LaMarcus Aldridge the too small symbol when he backed him down. So right now, the Lakers, without LeBron and AD, absolutely own the Brooklyn Nets. So yes, this is shade. It's also 100% fact. That's the team he needs to worry about right now, not these supposed rivals.
And to that exact point, this is why I'm starting to love the Sixers, because they talk their trash grown man style by just simply pointing out what's obvious and no need to get weird or whatever about it. And also, I was not aware that Mr. Simmons' chain game was this strong. My man is looking good with the herring bun. That was an excellent look. Hot boy summer, let's get it. I did not know he was moving like that. Good work out of him.
Do you question if number 77 is playing the right position?
All right, it is April, a tradition like no other. High school football in California. Oh, that's... Oh! Oh! I see you. Now, the question is he playing the right position? And the answer is obviously yes, because, I mean, once that heat comes for him, it may take three dudes to take him down in the pocket, but there are definitely three dudes who can catch him.
I think there's a lot of potential in here, Bo. Talk about future of the game. The quarterback that can protect for himself. Who needs five offensive linemen? Just two are fine. Put other skill position people out there. Let me get more people to throw the ball to.
This had shades of my favorite SEC quarterback of all time, Mr. Lorenzen, running around in Kentucky, slinging that thing with the gut hanging over. Who is this kid? He needs to be playing a different sport. Forget about a different position. He's pretty athletic for a guy that height. I could see him in the post or maybe even throwing that ball off the mound. That guy's got a little something on it. I like that.
Yeah, Not that impressed by a guy who's clearly like 6'3" throwing the ball far. But, you know, I guess there was some accuracy involved.
I just want to say rest in peace to the hefty lefty. But by the way, see, Clint, you did that thing, man. This dude ain't even left-handed. You just found the one comparison or the two they had. Big old white dudes.
Correct.
We all know that the best hefty quarterback in the history of the SEC was Jamarcus Russell, who was even bigger than this young man. In his prime, Jamarcus Russell was bigger than him.
Do you question if the bystander helped?
We are going out to someone parallel parking, and the second bystander is the one to pay attention to. Oh, you tried to do it like that?
Can't go in head
off
first.
Rip, bad approach.
There's an episode of Insecure where somebody's trying to head in parallel park, and we're all like, what are you talking about?
What happens there? Why are you getting out of the car?
Are you counting paces? What's going on there? Is this the Masters?
All right, okay.
Wow, not helpful.
Wait a minute. How is this going to end? Because, hold on. Oh, wow.
Let me.
Wow.
Absolute genius. Let me help this person learn how to parallel park.
As somebody that lives across the street from a Costco parking lot, I see quite a few incidents of people trying to help one another, but the fact that she then drove off making the point of you need to learn how to drive before anything else happens in your life. That is the priority here, not whether or not I'm getting out of here on time. Good work out of that.
And you knew that was going to be a heavy job when they tried to start by going in with the nose in the first place. I would have been afraid that they was going to hit me with the car, but she was like, no, I am going to show you this and then make you feel terrible when I leave.
Well, there's several signs. Like when the driver takes, was it a he or a she? I don't remember. When the driver takes his or her head out of the window, entire body out of the window to look, and looking at the wrong side, Bo. Why are you looking at the street side? You should be looking at the curb side. And when you're getting help and you don't know what this symbol or this symbol means, then you're lost. You're never going to make it as a driver. You probably should have to take your driving test over again because you're going to fail. She was trying to help drivers all across this great city to avoid having to deal with this situation again and teaching him or her how to parallel park. You have to teach them first before you just make it easy on them.
Or you could just get in your car and leave. Although trying to leave while that person was doing that could have also resulted in an accident.
Tonight at 10:10 p.m. Eastern, Rockies and Dodgers.
All right, so Major League Baseball is trying to cut down on the use of foreign substances, like to throw pitches, not the other kind. Anyway, they try to shut this down. Trevor Bauer, eyes are locked on him as being like the Gaylord Perry of his day or something like that. I don't know. Here's Dave Roberts talking about it.
My understanding is that umpires collect baseballs from all pitchers and balls that were in play to collect samples. And, that's kind of what I get from it. I just... hope that our player is not singled out. You know, that's the one thing I want to guard against.
Do you feel like he has been singled out?
At this point, yeah.
And why is that? Just because of the report?
I don't know. Just kind of, that's the only name I've heard floated around.
If he is being singled out, you know why, Dave. Don't nobody like that guy. That's why. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I am, but I have some questions for our baseball expert over here. Clinton, didn't Trevor Bauer try to call out the Houston Astros as a franchise for increasing their spin rate and questioning whether they were doing that in legal ways? So if you're doing that publicly and then get called out when you're being suspected, isn't that perfectly fair game?
I would agree, but to Bo's point, the nobody likes you factor is huge here. He is a professional agitator. And so when things like this come up, yeah, buddy, your name's the one everybody's going to highlight on the list. To take that even farther, what he did was he went to his vlog to try to explain himself, and he did something that I don't like at all. He dry snitched on everybody else. He's talking about catchers have these kind of substances on their gloves. Third basemen have it. Why is it a big deal for me? I could have picked it up from some contract tracing. You don't got to bring nobody else into it, okay? If you have an issue with the rule or being singled out yourself, you can just say that. Trying to blame everybody else around you on your squad potentially for tainting you, that's whack. And that's part of the reason why I think a lot of people consider this guy to be an irritant, even though he's one of the best pitchers in the league.
I think you're one of those people, right?
Maybe. I live here, though. I'm going to go watch him pitch.
All right, that is the show. Izzy's about to go play nine. Clinton's going to go watch somebody play baseball. I think I'm going to take a nap.